We're reading from Acts 16, starting at verse 11. It can be found in the Bibles on page 1112, and I imagine it'll be on the screens in a minute. Lydia's conversion in Philippi. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am slightly alarmed that Keith came up to say that the last person he heard preach was the Archbishop of Canterbury. And now I'm following that. That's very alarming. Anyway, hopefully he'll bear with me. So we're looking today about sharing faith and the story of Paul speaking to Lydia. And as I was preparing for this, I think God in his usual way humbled me by reminding me of something that happened a few years back when I was trying to share faith with someone. I was working at Wyndham Park at the time, and I'd been sent on a course to learn all about play therapy. I don't know if you know anything about it, but the idea is that any young children who've perhaps had difficult experiences in their childhood or difficult events perhaps can use play to try and process what has happened to them. And sometimes they play out the event that has happened with little characters, or they might act it out. It was a very interesting course anyway. Went on for about 6 weeks, and the lady that led it was very experienced play therapist and had lots of experience to share with us, stories to share with us. And she also talked about her own experiences when she was a child, and she'd had a really difficult upbringing. She really hadn't known a stable household. She hadn't felt loved. And actually, she carried that burden through with her into adulthood. And I really just felt over the course of the weeks that God really wanted me to share with her his love for her, his acceptance of her, and that he was always with her through all of those difficult times. And so I thought, right, well, in the last session, I'll be brave enough to try and do something. And I decided that I would take the Father's love letter and give it to her. I don't know whether it's something you've come across, but it's a lovely letter. It's taken from many different lines from Scripture and put together to form a letter from God to each one of us, just saying how much he loves us. Anyway, the time came at the end of the last session, and I waited until everybody else had gone. I didn't want an audience. I tentatively took up this letter. I meant to say, I really think this is what God wants you to know, you know, how much he loves you. I don't think I managed to actually say that. I think I went, and thrust this letter into her hands, and I picked up my stuff, and I think I ran out of the room, and I was bright red. It wasn't a good example of how to share faith well. I'm hoping that in spite of all of that, God was at work there, and hopefully that letter meant something to her. But my consolation was that I would never have to see her again, so it was all right. Anyway, thankfully today we are looking at Paul, who is very good at speaking to people and very well practiced. So hopefully we can learn something from him today. We're going to be looking at four different areas. We're going to think about how the Holy Spirit gave really clear direction to Paul and Silas about where to go to. We're going to see how Paul really took the time to understand his audience. We're going to think about how we can prepare ourselves for conversation with people using Paul as an example. And then we're going to look at the fact that there really is only one way to evangelize effectively, and I'll talk about what that is. So thinking about the fact that the Holy Spirit gives really clear direction to Paul and Silas, I'm actually going to go back a few verses in Acts and read just a little bit that came before the passage that Carrie read. So it says, "Next, Paul and Silas travelled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there." Now, I love it that the Holy Spirit was so particular about where they had to go. And I think Paul's idea was that he was going to go back and visit some of the churches that they'd established before, some of the Christians that they had converted before. But actually, God had other plans. And so they tried going up north, and then God stopped them from going that way. I don't know how the Holy Spirit stopped them from doing this, or whether he spoke to them very clearly or physically stopped them. I do not know. But then they ended up having to go west, because that was the only way that God was kind of allowing them to go. And through the Holy Spirit's guidance, they ended up at the seaport of Troas. And, you know, we could think, well, why does God not want them to speak to the people in those other places? What's going on there? But actually, when we sort of read on a bit, we understand that God's plan was that he wanted them to go into Europe. And this was his encouragement to get them to the seaport so that then they could get on that ferry, whatever it was in those times, and head off over the water and end up in Greece, in Macedonia. And it's just really exciting as well that Lydia is the first known European convert. And it was really, really crucial, this, because this then opened up for the gospel to be spread in a much wider area. God really does know what he's doing, and if we follow the Holy Spirit's guidance, then we're bound to end up doing the right thing. So perhaps, too, we can ask for that direction from the Holy Spirit, something so clear that we really know what we're meant to be doing. A few weeks ago, there was a lady at work. I was working in Avon Valley College in Durrington, and I was in the bridge office, and a lady came in who's not a believer at all, but she had excruciating back pain. She was in the other room talking to another member of our staff, and I listened to her just saying how dreadful it was, and she would do anything to stop this awful pain. And I think I felt the Holy Spirit kind of nudging me, going, "Go on, you can go and pray for her." I was on my own in the office, and I think I was doing this funny little bobbing up and down. I was like, "I'm going to go. No, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go. No, I'm not going to go." Eventually, I did manage to go. I thought, "I've got to do this. God won't let me rest until I do." So I went out, and I just said, "You know, how would you feel if we prayed for you?" And she said, "I don't believe in God at all, but this pain is so awful, I'm willing to give anything a go." So I just said a very short little prayer for her. I would like to say that she was miraculously healed and pain-free, but that didn't happen. I think it took time for the pain to go. I don't know why I had to go and do that. I don't know whether it was something to do with me being obedient. Perhaps it did sow a seed somehow in her. I don't know. That's up to God. But I really needed the Holy Spirit nudging me to go and do that. So secondly, I'm going to just think about how Paul really sussed out who his audience was. And we see it time and time again that Paul really does adapt what he says in terms of who he's speaking to. When he was in Athens in Greece, he found that they had an altar to an unknown god, and he used that as his starting point to speak to the Greeks there. So they felt onside immediately. It was something that belonged to them, and then he could start there and then steer off telling them all about this god that they didn't know about. He preaches to the Jews, and he starts off by talking about the things that they have in common, and then he goes on to explaining about Jesus. But he really does know who his audience is. When he went to Philippi he realized where he would find any God-fearing people, because on the arches, as they entered the city, there was something prohibiting any unknown religions from being worshipped inside the city. So he knew that if there were any God-fearing people, they would be outside the city. So he knew to go and look there for them. So he really understood the culture that he was in. And I just think it was really useful yesterday at the Ravi Zacharias Day, listening to the, well, there was so much information to take in. I really do recommend listening to it. I think I'd probably need to listen to it again just to try and absorb all that information. But one of the things that they talked about was, if somebody asks you a question, we really need to get to the heart of what it is inside them that's making them ask that question. So, for example, if somebody asks us, you know, why God allows suffering, they said we need to really understand why it is that they are asking that. Is it just that they want some theological, you know, reasoning as to why this happens? Or is it that they've actually suffered something really, a really deep hurt, and they really want to know how God has allowed this to happen, and they need somebody to see that pain that they're feeling? And our answer will be very different depending on where they are coming from. So it's really worth us taking time, whoever it is that we're speaking to, whether it's friends or whether it's people that we've just met, just really just trying to work out where they're at and what's going on. I also love the fact that this group that Paul speaks to are just women, because we do have a bit of a hard time sometimes, don't we, women in the Bible? But I love the fact that this is a really key convert. She's a really influential lady. And I love the fact that she's obviously very persuasive, because I don't think she was going to let them leave without coming to stay with her. And so she was a really key person to actually have as a convert in that area. And it was from this time then that the church was established in Philippi. So how can we prepare for conversations with non-believers using Paul as our guide? Well, if we sort of go back through Acts, we read about the amazing conversion that Saul had and how he eventually became Paul. We read many things about how he was preaching powerfully. We also read that he spends a lot of time in prayer and fasting. I'm just going to read a tiny bit from Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. And another time in Acts 14, it says, they appointed elders in every church with prayer and fasting. And it's part of Paul's world that he always is worshipping God, he's praying, he's reading the scriptures, he's fasting. I'm not very good at that one, but probably ought to give that one a try. But he's got his heart in the right place. And we too need to prepare ourselves for doing God's work by doing those things first. We can't just charge out and think that we've got everything that we need and go and do it in our own steam. It just isn't going to work. Like I said, the Zacharias Trust Day yesterday was just incredible and really was an equipping day, so really worth listening to. And lastly, the only really effective way to evangelize or to do any of God's work is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can only be equipped by the Holy Spirit by spending time with God, like I've just talked about, all those things that we can do to spend time with God. If our aim is to be a great evangelist, then we're missing the point. We won't be great at all. Our aim always should be to seek God first. If we do that, then we'll find the other things begin to fall into place and happen naturally. I'm really aware that there are only some days when I can really see how God is using me, or where I really see him at work in my life. And it all depends on how I start my day. It can be quite a subtle difference, but actually the impact it has is huge. So there are some days when I invite God to join me in what it is that I am doing. you know, that's not a bad thing. I'm bringing God into my day. I always talk to him, but it's more about sometimes what I'm doing and he can tag along. There are other days, however, when I seem to get it right and I remember what I should be doing, and I ask God to show me what his plan is for my day, and I try and follow his leading. And it's always on those days that I actually see fruit and I see something happening and a conversation might occur or I might be able to bless someone. It was through one of those days, starting the day like that, that I was then prompted to pray for that lady with a backache, the back pain. So whichever ministry we are called to serve in, whether we are apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, all of these will be more effective when the Holy Spirit is at work through us. With me standing up here today, I know that it's only if the Holy Spirit is at work through me and actually directing the words that I say that they will have any effect. I know that only if the Holy Spirit is at work in you, then will you receive something that God wants to share with you this morning. And actually, for me, that's quite liberating. It means that it's not all my responsibility. I'm so glad about that. So we have a choice. Will we invite God to join us in what we are doing each day? Or will we invite God to lead us in his plans for our day? I just think it'd be really great if this week we could try and practice doing the latter, trying to remember to start the day in the right way. And perhaps at the end of the week, we might find that there had just naturally been more God incidents. Perhaps we will find that just naturally a conversation emerged that we were able to, where we were able to share something. Perhaps God will put somebody in our paths that we are able to bless. What would be really, really fantastic would be if anyone would be brave enough to come and share next week if they've done this and really seen the fruit of God's work. So always our heart should be for God first, not for bringing glory to ourselves in any way. Give glory to him and he will then use us. I'm just going to finish by reading a little bit from Everyday Supernatural. It's a book that I've used before. It's a fantastic book by Mike Pilavarci and Andy Croft, and it really just expresses what I'm trying to say. So I'll just read a little bit from there. It starts about talking about David. David, the greatest king Israel ever had, battle-scarred and hardened by a life of war, wept and cried out for the presence of God. He could have sought God for a great army or great wealth, but he left us in no doubt that his one driving ambition was to be in God's presence. David's determination was shared by countless others, both those who wrote Israel's Psalms and the tens of thousands who would have sung them. And they continue to say, and today, whenever they meet someone who is being used by God in incredible ways, they realize that they are uncompromising in their pursuit of Jesus. They're not seeking power from God, but they are seeking relationship with God. They will stop at nothing to be close to him. And they discover a profound secret along the way. The power is in the presence of God. I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would lift off this burden where we feel that we have to go out in our own strength and just strike up conversations in a rather sort of awkward way. Lord Jesus, free us from that, but show us that if we seek you first, that you will bring about the conversations in a natural way, in a comfortable way. Lord, help us to be bold and confident that you will give us the words to say. Lord, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would challenge us this morning to start each day in the right way with you. And Lord, we look forward to seeing how you will be at work in our lives this week. Amen.